Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Big K Morning Show. Getting ready to wrap up the week and make way for Paul Zeiss, 10 to 2. Rick Dayton, 2 to 6 this afternoon. And don't forget, we've got high school basketball tonight. On the Big K,
they're fantastic.
Countdown to
they do an amazing job, man.
Yeah, they really do. Pretty impressive. Meanwhile,
this case is very intriguing, right, Larry?
Yeah.
Woman is at a bar and is admittedly intoxicated. She's on I'm assuming it must have been high up a bar stool. She falls off the bar stool, and she's a paraplegic. God. It's just awful to hear, man. She sues the bar and blames the bar, and the bartender says they're responsible. I had to, this elicits a lot of opinions, but there's law out there addressing this sort of thing. And I had to grab one of my boys, quite frankly, and one of the best attorneys in the country, John Perry. JP, what's up?
Good morning, guys.
This is not the first time this discussion has been had, sir, is it?
No. And you know, I want to point out one thing I love about you guys is, you know, unlike most of the media, you don't just sensationalize. You try to get to the bottom of things. So let me say, I know nothing about the case,
right,
but let me tell you the law. The law does require that bars do not serve visibly intoxicated people. And that part of the law makes sense because, you know, when you start drinking, you do lose your rational abilities, and you're not as good drunk when you are sober. So the law says if somebody is visibly intoxicated, they come into your bar, they fall down drunk, you have an obligation to not serve them. So that's the law. Here's the issue, and I've told you guys this before. I can't defend the legal profession. And just because there's a bad injury doesn't mean there's not going to be a lawsuit. So, you know, a lawyer who sees somebody who's a paraplegic with huge damages looks at this case and says, well, hey, they had a duty not to serve somebody visibly intoxicated. What is left out of the analysis is what's called contributory negligence. If you have contributed to your own injuries, and in Pennsylvania, if your negligence is greater than 50%, you are not allowed to make a recovery. So my prediction for this case is the bar owner will probably be found somewhat responsible, but unfortunately, the injured person in this case is going to be determined to be greater than 50% responsible, and there will not be a recovery.
It's fascinating.
Wow. That is. And you know better than anybody, there are so many cases where people, in many cases, contribute to their own accident in some way, shape, or form. But
no question. And, you know, the law is generally smart. You know, there's some areas of the law that don't make a lot of sense. But the problem with stories like this is, like, these get sensationalized. And, you know, the stories that are everyday people who've been injured, who either get a verdict or don't get a verdict, you don't hear about those cases.
Nice.
You hear about the hot coffee.
Nice.
You hear about the drunk on the bar stool.
True.
It, you know, those are really the outliers in the legal system. You know, by and large, I do still believe we have the best legal system in the world. You know, the best you can do when somebody's injured is to try to give them money to make the future easier to deal with.
True. JP, I got to ask something on this level on a grander scale, because I was talking to my daughter, Sophia, who's 18, about this. And she says, Dad, because we were in a crowded restaurant and the bar was packed. And she said, Dad, aren't there laws that hold these bars responsible if one of these people gets drunk and then leaves and hurts someone? There are. Are there not, yeah, JP?
Now,
aren't there?
Yeah, now that's a different issue. See, there's no contributory negligence there. So if a bar serves a physically intoxicated person, they leave that bar across the center line and cause somebody to be a paraplegic, that bar's going to pay in that situation because, you know, the victim in that case did nothing wrong. There's no contributory negligence there. That's all between the bar and the, you know, visibly intoxicated person.
Yeah, but JP, here's my conundrum with that, because he's my man. You know that, Larry. How in the hell is a bartender in a bar with, Larry, some of these bars, man, can have 100, 200 people packed up against the bar, six deep.
Yeah, it's a good point.
How are they supposed to know, bro?
John, yeah, there's some gray area on when I know somebody's visibly intoxicated or not.
Great questions, guys. So listen, there's definitely gray area there. And in any case where somebody's suing somebody else, the person bringing suit has what we call the burden of proof. So they have to prove it. And what you find in these cases that are successful is they're very extreme. You'll find video footage of somebody doing 13 shots and drinking 10 beers. You'll find video footage of somebody going outside, throwing up, stumbling back in, falling asleep on the bar, and being served another alcoholic beverage. You know, those are not gray areas. I mean, these cases are difficult to prove, but the ones that are successful, you know, you can find people in the bar who were other patrons who said, you know, that person was fall down drunk and sat at the bar drinking for another 2 hours.
Wow.
And, you know, I mean, listen, alcoholism is a disease, and sometimes people can't help themselves. But what you can't allow to happen is those people to hurt other individuals. So, you know, we do put some responsibility on establishments that are making money serving alcohol.
By the way, John Perry, who's Pennies from Heaven Charities, one of the best charities in America, they've helped 100,000-plus families, has great compassion. And what really does kind of stand out about this woman who fell off the bar stool is, regardless of this lawsuit, she's a quadriplegic, which is tragic. It's just sad. Sad.
No, it's terribly sad. But, you know, as I told you, Marty and Larry, not every bad injury or bad result in the medical arena warrants a lawsuit.
Nice.
I mean, somebody has to have done something below the standard of care, and you have to prove that it caused the injuries. And, you know, you don't take cases and sue people because somebody's catastrophically injured.
Man,
appreciate
great stuff,
your
brother.
Insight, John. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you do the same.
It's amazing, actually.
John Perry.
I mean, I wouldn't have any idea.
No, he really crystallized exactly what the situation is.
But I have friends that own bars, and
it's a liability.
The game's changed.
There's no question.
And it should change, because they're a lot more careful than back in the day, where they would literally slide the, like in the Westerns, right, Larry? Where they would slide the bottle of whiskey in front of you and give you a glass. Uh-uh. Not no more. You want to tell me about it?
What am I going to tell you about?
Well, either you're going to tell me or I'm going to tell them.
All right, so.
Because this is fun.
I don't know. It's been maybe a month or so. My wife got this idea to hang a suet from a pole.
At
suet.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what suet is? She's feeding the birds. I'm looking out
in
the
newsroom. It's a chunk of crap, right?
Matt,
the birds eat.
The big producer from The Fan.
Yeah.
He's looking at me like, suet?
Right.
Yeah, it's like a piece of toast, two slices thick of gunk that they put in there for the birds to peck at and eat. So then you put it in this little cage and you hang it from a pole and you sit there and watch the birds. Now, this enamored my wife because she could see it out the kitchen window over the sink. And then tragedy struck when a squirrel came up and tried to dislodge it. It took him 2 days, but finally he stole it.
And I said, kill the squirrel, but she won't let you.
She doesn't want me to kill the squirrel.
Yeah.
So what do we do?
You got hot pepper suet.
So you had somebody call us that said if you get hot pepper suet.
This gets better.
The squirrel will not eat it.
We're leading up to something.
So I was sent to Ace Hardware to get a new feeder, a suet cage, and I doubled it.
Yeah.
So I got a double with a little roof on it, and I got zip ties.
Hold on. There's more here. I'm building up to this. You want to tell us what else? Come on, man.
What do you mean, what
Either
else?
You're going to tell us or I'm going to tell them. What did you do to the pole?
I greased it.
Yes!
I got.
Hold on, man. What did you grease the pole with, Larry?
Petroleum jelly.
Vaseline, Larry.
Yeah. That's right.
So there was Larry.
That's the brand name.
Out there greasing.
So I'm freezing my you-know-what off last night.
Greasing the
and
pole.
And my wife, I turn and she's
greasing
looking.
Greasing the pole.
She's looking at
You're
me.
You're greasing the pole.
And I'm greasing the pole. So this little squirrel.
Raz, are you following this, bro?
This little squirrel.
Sadly. Yes, I am.
Little Larry's greasing his pole.
And I'm thinking to myself, what am I doing? I hope nobody's looking. I turn around. My wife's looking from over the sink with this very acknowledging, you know, that look you get.
So she should immediately have taken her socks off if she saw you greasing,
come on, man.
Greasing the
come
pole.
Come on, man. Now we're going down the rabbit hole.
Actually, I was thinking we're going to go over the cliff with our flag flying.
So this is where my life is. People think, oh, yeah, big glamorous job.
No, they don't. So I'm thinking, if I'm out there with a jar of Vaseline,
yeah,
and I'm greasing a pole,
yep,
I got to refocus on Jesus. I got to seek a church home. I got to go to rehab. I got to get drug tested. I got to do something.
I got to call Father Mac.
So you think what? That the, like, out of some comedy, you think some Philly fans are going to come drunk and try to climb your pole in your backyard?
Well, that's where I got the idea. Paul, when the Eagles won the NFC Championship last week, they greased the poles in downtown Philly.
They don't want people going up and falling off drunk.
And yet, somehow, some of those people were able to make it up a greased pole.
Raz, have you ever greased...
Have you ever greased your...
Sorry to say, I have no experience with lubricating the pole.
That's so sad. So this is where we are. We're hoping today. Now, I get a text from my wife this morning.
Just to think you've hit rock bottom.
She said...
You grabbed the Vaseline.
Here's the quote. Birds are living large. Thanks. No sign of the squirrel yet. So...
If you can't negotiate, you personally, a socks-off moment based on what you just said, you're done as a man. I'm giving up on you. I'm giving up on trying to make you as cool as I am. I can't do it anymore.
Oh, there's a bar set low.
Cindy, we love you so much. You made my entire day when you sent me this note. Larry greased the pole with Vaseline.
I don't have a retort for that. Coming up next,
wow.
Retired Army Colonel Jeff McCausland.
How about a poll question to that effect, maybe?
A poll question, have you ever greased yours? That's a great question. Colonel Jeff McCausland will join us. What do we do with this giant balloon?
Shoot it down.
It's high up there. They say it's as big as three buses, and underneath it, it's got some kind of apparatus. Uh-huh. They think it's...
Get some Cessna pilot, a Patriot, with a 30-06 and a scope. Come on, fellas.
I'll be curious. You're going to suggest this to the colonel? He's the CBS military analyst, Jeff McCausland.
Love him.
And that's coming up.
Your wife is laughing very hard, she says.
Good.
Socks good off, sister.
So airline passengers... Somewhere over Montana, I believe, said, what is that? It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's a big balloon. And then, I mean, you can see this thing. They've zoomed in on it. Three times the size of a bus, the balloon itself. Three buses with some suspended apparatus underneath. What is that? Well, China says it's a private balloon that's went astray. So joining us on our Disc Institute of Pittsburgh News line, retired Army Colonel Jeff McCausland, CBS military analyst.
The legend.
Colonel, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
My man.
Marty says, shoot that
Come
balloon
on,
down.
Come on, Colonel. They knew this was out there. Come on. They wanted us to know it was there. And they wanted China to know that we know it was there. Come on.
No, I think that's very possible, Marty. I mean, that this may be just a clear example of the Chinese executing what they call wolf diplomacy, being very aggressive, asserting their authority to do things, showing off their capabilities. That certainly could be the case. Frankly, it also could be just a colossal screw-up on the part
that's
of
what
the
I
Chinese.
Think. Yeah.
because it just bemuses me, because why would they do this when really a day or so away from Secretary of State Blinken going to China? I think they would. They don't really want to compromise that particular meeting. They don't want to make, I think at this moment, when they've got dramatic problems with their economy and with COVID right now in China, to totally make relations with the United States, which are already really bad, make it a whole lot worse. It doesn't seem to be logical to me. And number two is, I always thought and believed and was told that Chinese satellites were of a quality that they could get all the imagery they wanted from those. But I don't think, see, and the Pentagon seems to suggest as well, how this particular balloon provides them, you know, a capability that would be so significant as to take all those risks.
So, to your point, Colonel, yeah, it's just floating around up there. So, what, do we just let it go and keep following it, or should they just take it down?
Well, the Pentagon and the president actually supposedly said initially, take it down, you know, take it down. And F-22s were on, in the air monitoring the flight and prepared to do just that. The Pentagon recommended not to do that, frankly, because of the fear that it could crash to the ground. Once you shoot it, you don't know where it's going, and you could cause damage to an injury to civilians on the ground. So the decision was made not to shoot it down. That being said, this is an assumption. I don't know this right. to be fact, but I would imagine the Pentagon has now taken action. They've said we've taken actions to neutralize its capability. So that translates to me that we're using either cyber and or electronic warfare capabilities to stop it from transmitting information back to wherever it came from, to blind its cameras and essentially neutralize it in flight.
Don't you think also, Colonel, that, come on, man, we're so smart with surveillance and satellites that we knew it was there. We could have taken it down. No one would have known. But we just want to shame China to show the world how stupid they are.
Could be. It certainly could be. And I think one thing that should come out of this is really an investigation that looks to when we picked this up. I mean, NORAD picked it up eventually, but apparently it may have been observed by people in flight before NORAD picked it up. And it came over the Aleutian Islands. It looks like it came over the Aleutian Islands. And apparently it's over Montana, and my track would take it over Alaska then and over parts of Canada before it actually gets over Montana. So it's a real question to me why we hadn't picked it up sooner. Okay, maybe we had it just continued to drift, number one. Number two, in terms of determining why they did this, it does seem to have a lot of dwell time. In other words, it stays on station a lot longer than perhaps a satellite, and therefore was looking for something specific. I'd like to know, the Pentagon will never admit, was there a major exercise, for example, going on at Malmstrom Air Force Base, which it seemed to have overflown? Malmstrom is where we have one of our three ICBM fields. So was there a big exercise going on? And was this time for them to provide, you know, a longer time surveillance of that particular effort? I don't know that to be true, but certainly it seems in the aftermath, I'd like to know why we didn't pick it up sooner. And was there anything particular going on that might have generated them doing this particular effort?
Roger, Strike Force 4, take down the balloon.
Plus, yeah, Colonel, right. We have satellites now. They can show nasal hairs. And my right. point is, why the hell aren't we past the balloon hanging a camera routine, sir?
Yeah, except for weather. I mean, again, people do use balloons for weather.
True.
And that's what the Chinese claim this is. One reason to take it down is if you took it down, you probably could ascertain whether or not it was a weather balloon. So that you need to make sure you preserve the devices on board for further investigation. Yeah, I mean, I've seen photographs from satellites. You can read a guy's name tag standing on the ground.
Right on. So,
And don't forget, I mean, we conduct our own surveillances
right.
using satellites. We use aircraft flying over international waters with side-looking radars. Remember back at the very beginning of the Bush administration, the Chinese actually forced one of our surveillance aircraft that was flying along the island of Hainan, which is a Chinese island, and forced us to land, a major crisis at the beginning of the Bush administration way back in 2000. And they routinely buzz our surveillance aircraft which are conducting surveillance surveillance missions, flying over international waters, but looking at activities going on in China and conducting signal intelligence on what's going on in China.
Colonel, we appreciate you joining us as always. Have a great weekend, and thank you, sir.
You guys be good.
Retired Army Colonel Jeff McCausland, CBS military analyst on the Big K Morning Show. And it looks like we're going to have a chilly weekend. Yeah, sorry, Paul.
Sometimes what happened?
You get to the end of the week and,
what's
you know.
Wrong, man? You all right?
Yeah, I'm okay. A couple of years of therapy after this show.
See.
It'll be.
Hey, passive aggressive again. You hearing it? No.
This is a song for balloon lovers.
Would you like to ride in my
What if they got to that balloon and there was a little man in it?
Oz. Dorothy.
No place like home.
Click your heels three times. Anyways.
Hey, you didn't see balloons out here.
This is in your home state. In
yes,
Montana.
It is.
And you said
way above Big Sky country.
There are silos everywhere.
Yeah, a couple hundred silos holding Minuteman missiles. It's one of three regions in the United States where they have them planted in the ground like this.
You know, I grew up less than a quarter mile from a Nike site.
Oh, you did? Oh,
the yeah. Tennis shoes.
No. These were missiles that were prepared for the Cold War.
The socks.
No. Nike missiles. Before Nike was Nike, they had
the
Nike.
The shirts.
No.
The sweatsuits.
Long tubes with explosives in them. Do you know what I'm talking about, Paul?
Is this the Nike, the missiles, the old missile site out west of town?
No, this is the one in the North Hills that abandoned now, but it sits right next to Hosack School on Peebles Road.
There's a couple of them around here.
And right next to that was a farm, and I would hear chickens crowing when I got up in the morning.
Wow.
Where is this all going?
No idea, brother.
I'm just saying, well, you said you had missile silos growing up. I'm saying I had silos, too.
Wow.
Larry's got silos.
I don't know what else to tell you. If you want to hear anything more about my childhood?
No, but we would like a nice update on the birds, how they're doing.
My brother Ken had an egg route. Who knew it would be really lucrative these days?
What's the deal with the birds? Are the birds coming back?
Yeah. My wife says birds are, well, what's the quote? Let me make sure I get her. She says... birds are living large.
Hey, you know, they know when it's going to be cold, and they will really load up. They'll empty a feeder when it's going to get this cold. I've seen it happen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I doubled the suet.
Oh, good job.
They had a sale on suet.
Yeah.
And I went to get the sale price, 99 cents, but they said, well, I wanted the hot suet because Marty told me that the squirrels don't like the hot suet.
Yeah, Billy Sawyer. Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I asked for the hot suet. He said, well, that's not on sale. I'm like,
come on, man.
Really? So he was good enough. He got me a coupon for shaved off a little. But I had to load up the suet and grease the pole.
Wow.
And now everybody seems happy in the moment. But I'm sure there'll be some issues later.
This is what makes you a better man. I would never do that.
Thanks, Paul. Ever. Sorry to bother you.
I would never do that.
Do what?
That whole crap with the suet and the Vaseline.
Well,
not happening.
Part of the problem with feeding the birds is the aftermath.
Yeah, the crap.
Correct.
Yeah. Stinks.
Yeah. Who's going to clean that up?
Larry.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
All right, wrapping up the week. covered a lot of ground this week.
Yes, we have. Oh, is it my turn?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, we have. Covered
You're supposed
a lot of
to
ground.
Say something.
Yeah, we did.
Here's where Marty, Samantha, join us.
I have
Samantha McGill's our producer, and she knows we hit the wall on Friday about this time.
Well, yeah. It's
well,
the
a couple of things
that
jump out at me. Number one, downtown Pittsburgh is a sewer.
Now, some people say, Marty, you're exaggerating.
Okay, they should hang down there. Take your family down there. And if they don't address it, we'll lose it. One of my big shot close friends says Pittsburgh's becoming Detroit in the 80s. another close friend, said Pittsburgh's starting to have that feel it had in the 80s when the mills shut down. Another close friend said some of the biggest businesses in this town are right now positioning themselves to leave Pittsburgh because of this conversation.
Well, that could be. Then I suggest go to Lawrenceville this weekend or go to the Strip District.
You can't
it's
move
like
a skyscraper to Lawrenceville.
It's like another planet.
You can't move 20,000 employees to Lawrenceville.
The Strip District is a few blocks away from downtown, yet why is it so different?
They've approached it differently. And the philosophy is different. And the mayor will not allow cops to address everybody downtown that's breaking the law. And they don't have a place to handle the folks who are mentally ill. I posted a picture yesterday on an alleyway right near Market Square with a man sleeping on the sidewalk. It was 20 degrees. That should not happen in this town. And it does day in and day out. And it doesn't change. And until we get real with law enforcement and drug addiction and homelessness, it's not going to change. The biggest, most powerful business owners in this town, guys that I communicate with, are about to say, to hell with this, we're out of here. And if that happens, excuse the phraseology, we're screwed. I'm serious about this. It's bad.
Well, that's the Big K Morning Show for this Friday and the week. Stand by. Paul Zeiss, 10 until 2. And Marty, thanks for bringing up the bird feeder thing. Now I'm getting all kind of advice from people all over town because we had a bird feeder with suet in it attacked and stolen by a squirrel.
You know what you could do, though? You could, as one of your side hustles, you could lube up poles in people's backyards.
Pole looper. You can't even get people to wait on people.
I'm just telling you, man.
That's a highly specialized skill.
Yeah.
Marty's referring to the fact that to maybe discourage the squirrel, I buy hot suet, which I did, and that I grease the pole where the suet is hanging. Yeah. So we'll see. And a friend says, Howard Bincone, with squirrels, you need to use the 8-foot rule. If hanging a feeder, use the thinnest wire fishing line, but at least 8 feet off the ground and away from branches or any structures.
Wow.
Thanks, Howard. If it's, what am I going to hang it on then? I got nothing.
Same.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.